Well, good morning, everybody. This is COVID full. I like this. This is nice this morning. You know, I want to start off today just kind of a preface to my message and just to give you maybe a backdrop to what the whole series is about. In October of 2019 in our church did something that I don't know if we had done before in quite this way. We did a series of town halls just asking God and asking you guys, where is it that you want us to go into the future, right? And came up with all sorts of crazy things back in 2019. This is before, you know, COVID and all that. We wanted to get online with our services. We wanted to be a church that helped rescue other churches. We wanted to start missions. We wanted to do all sorts of crazy things. And I was just sitting, I remember sitting there going, wow, this church is awesome. Like, they want to do like all sorts of stuff. And I started feeling a little overwhelmed, like how in the world would we even begin to start some of this? But we set course and said, you know, we want to be about more than we are right now. We want to set sights and see what God does. And then everything went upside down. I mean, the COVID hit and everything went crazy. But I tell you, and you read the statistics, and they're just brutal. At the beginning of COVID, there was the Barna Institute came out and said, man, we think 1 out of 5 churches aren't going to make it as they go through the pandemic. And actually just recently, Church Doctor, which is a group that works with churches that are struggling, they came out with a 3 out of 5 churches they think are going to close as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. And so you hear those horrible things, and then you hear about all the struggles seminaries are having across the country and getting guys to go into the ministry. And I mean, you just hear about the struggles of our society. And I'll tell you, there's a tendency and there's a very real thing of, man, sometimes you just want to hole up when stuff like that happens. When everything's trending against you, when everything's hard, it's so easy just to hole up and just to say, you know, we just got to do basic things here. But that's not what God's done in this place. 2020 was one of the most remarkable years I've ever seen, even though we were going through a pandemic. Well, you're sitting in a construction zone right now, and so instead of holding up, we're renovating a sanctuary that's already been paid for a long time ago. We did a capital campaign to redo the parking lot and a water line that will set us up for the future thing. We got online in ways that almost overnight, in ways that just still blow me away with Mike and James and the things that they've been able to do to get our word out, to get the message of Jesus Christ out to more and more people across the valley. Holy Cross, which is a church that we've gotten in partnership with, they were going down. They were struggling. They were bleeding hundreds of thousands of dollars through the savings. They only had a couple years left. Sending Pastor John over there, it's miraculous. They actually added to their savings this year. They got on the right side of their finances. They grew at a time where all these other churches are struggling. They're asking us, seriously, would you consider something more permanent, you know, in this partnership with us? Because we have so been blessed through this. And I'll tell you, so have we. Then just recently, God seems to be opening up a possibility to actually pursue the North Valley Christian Academy mission starting a mission in the North Valley up just about 5 miles south of Anthem. And just extraordinary kinds of things are happening. Powwow, almost all the powwows were closed down. And Brandon's leadership and what God's been doing through that group has been extraordinary. They actually almost begged Brandon, you got to stay open. There's so many people that we need to serve in that community. Would you do it? And he figured out a way to make it safe, to make it smooth, to make the experience just awesome. And he's continued to minister to these people in our community, giving them food in just an amazing time where so many people are struggling. So just for perspective, it would have been so easy for us to kind of hole up, you know, just kind of batten down the hatches. But God said, go. And we had said, we want to be open to your leading. And so during this time, we've just taken one step at a time. All the people on the EEC would tell you, sometimes it's only one step at a time, but one step at a time and just responding to the opportunities that God has laid before us. And I think our congregation has been blessed, and I think the community has been blessed, and I know the community at Holy Cross has been blessed, and hopefully soon the community in North Valley Christian, you know, will be blessed. And it just shows you what can happen if you decide, God, we want to be more than what we're being. And you open yourself up to doing and to being all that God is for you. It's extraordinary the kind of opportunities that he can present in your life. And I use that as an example because I'm going to bring it down to you guys, because I believe, and God has called you to go out into this world and share the good news of Jesus. Perspective two, there's probably never been a time in your lifetime where people would be more receptive to the message of Jesus Christ than they are right now. Because what does Jesus offer? Forgiveness, peace, hope, strength, heaven. There's more. Mercy, grace. I mean, you go through all of them, and it's exactly what our world is craving right now. Suicides are out of control. Divorces are out of control. Abuse is out of control. People are looking for something, and they're just at their wits' end, and Jesus provides the answer to all of that. All right, so that's the backdrop. So we're going to be doing this series on leadership for the next 4 weeks, and we're going to be talking about becoming the kind of leader that God wants you to be. Why? Because leadership is one of the key essentials into doing just that, into being all that God has for you on this earth. He put you here for a reason. You're still breathing for a reason. He has purpose. There's things he wants you to accomplish in this world. In fact, in Proverbs 11:14, it just talks about this leadership idea and says, without wise leadership, a nation is in trouble. But it's not just our nation, is it? I mean, if you know world politics, just about every nation you can think of is in trouble. Because almost every single nation is missing a key ingredient of godly leadership. But it's not just true of worldly politics, it's also true in our life. Without leadership, just about every area of our life struggles. Without wise leadership, a family is certainly in trouble. Without wise leadership, businesses are in trouble, communities are in trouble, churches are in trouble. Why? Because ultimately everything rises or falls on some kind of leadership. Now, you may have never thought of yourself as a leader, and that may be true, but I'm telling you that you are. You're a leader whether you realize it or not, because God has called you to be one. Because leadership in one word is just this, it's influence. And every time as you're walking around and dealing with people in this life, you are influencing people. So the question is not, are you a leader or not? The question really is, are you a good leader or not? Are you a godly leader or a poor leader? So the Bible says that if you're a believer, God expects you to lead for his good and for your good, for other people's good and for his glory. And that if you're a follower of Jesus, he wants you to be a leader of others. Again, for good and for the glory of God. Okay, because leadership's in such, maybe because of the absence of good leadership in our world today, I'll say it like that. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks just looking at how we can improve our leadership skills. In our homes, with our friends, in our small groups, in our jobs, maybe if you go to school, at school, in your communities. But wherever you find yourself, if you're a believer, again, if you're one of God's kids, he says this to you. I want you to lead others for good. I'm going to share this. I want you to influence them rather than allowing them to influence you. You know, it's one of the paradigms of me raising my kids. I basically been praying this for them, and also I basically verbalized this to them. I said, if you get into trouble, I want you to be leading the charge, right? I don't want you following anybody else into that trouble. I want you to own it, right? So if you're going to sin, sin boldly, otherwise don't go. And I say that because I don't want them to be followers. I don't want them to compromise their integrity or their morals or anything just to follow a group of people. I want them to be leaders, leaders for good. And if they're going to blow it, they better be leading the other way, you know? But I want the same thing for you guys. In fact, to be honest, I've been praying for this church, for all of you guys, probably the last couple years, that God would increase your influence in your life, to give you more and more opportunities to lead for good. To share Jesus, to bring peace and hope back into people's lives, that he would somehow do that more and more and more in your lives. And you ask, well, why would you do that, Pastor? And the simple answer is this. It's because at least you guys are trying. Amen? I mean, you're trying to do the right things. You're trying to love your neighbor. I'm not saying you're perfect at it, but you're trying. You're trying at least to be guided by God's forever truths. And I think that's significant in our world today, because most of our world today, to be honest, isn't trying at all. And so today we're going to, as a way of beginning this process, I want to take a look at three foundational things kind of elements of leadership, three elements of leadership that God gives us this morning. And this is just to kind of set a baseline for you guys as you consider moving out, as you consider that October 2019 meeting in your own life. What is it that God wants to accomplish? If you get here too, it will give you more peace, more centeredness, more focus in your life as well. These are all gifts that come through this. All right, so what's the first principle of leadership that God wants to build into our lives? It's this. It's the principle of identification. And that doesn't mean you need a driver's license to come to the services or anything like that. It just means this. I must know who I am. This is actually the foundation of all good leadership. I must know who I am. This is the starting point. Warren Bennis, the one-time USC professor who's written a couple dozen books on leadership, fairly wealthy man in his own right, he said this about self-awareness. He states that all good and great leaders know their strengths and their weaknesses and accept their strengths and admit their weaknesses. And so he just outlines a simple point, doesn't he? All of you guys have some amazing gifts, some amazing pieces of leadership, some amazing skills. And you also have some pretty amazing weaknesses as well. Same is true with me. I have some pretty good strengths, and then I have some epic weaknesses, and the staff could outline which ones are which, I'm sure, right? But the truth of it is that we're all a bundle of both. And leadership is not ignoring one in favor of the other. Leadership instead is being honest about both, understanding who you are, who God has created you to be. And so here's the takeaway. Good leaders do not try to be something that they're not. In ministry, it's been interesting over the years. There's people that want to be good at music, right? But when they start singing, I'm just not good at music, right? And I may want to be part of James's team, but that would not benefit you at all, right? And so it's just recognizing who I am, recognizing the talents and the gifts that he's given me. I have an appreciation for what these guys do every week. It's extraordinary. I love it. But I should not be one of them, right? And in leadership, you just got to figure out who it is that God's created you. Own your weaknesses, own your strengths, and move forward to see what it is that God has for you, because he does have a purpose for every single one of you. And here's the deal. Because this is super important. As we look at Jesus, he had no doubt about his identity. He knew exactly who he was. He said this, I am the light of the world. I am the Son of God. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the bread of life. That's just a few. Actually, as you go through the Gospels, over 18 different times, Jesus defines himself and says, I am. And then he tells us exactly who he is. Now, here's the thing I want you to notice. He didn't let other people define him. He defined himself. And so here's the point. He always knew exactly who he was. And if you're going to be a great leader, you too have to know exactly who you are. You have to know these foundational issues of knowing exactly who God made you to be. Because true leaders do not look to other people for validation. Jesus says, I testify on my own behalf. And what is the world does he mean by that? I testify on my own behalf. He says, I don't depend on other people's opinions to know if I'm doing good or not. You know, if my spouse is having a bad day, it doesn't mean I need to have a bad day. If my kids are having a hard day, it doesn't mean I need to have a hard day. I'm not defined by what they're going through. I can appreciate, I can have sympathy, I can have empathy, I can care for, but I don't need to own everybody's expectations of me or be influenced by their moods. I know who I am, and this is super important, because if you don't know who God has made you to be, then you find yourself almost continually being manipulated by other people and their expectations of you so that they can tell you who they think you ought to be. Now think of your spouse or your kids or your friends or your boss or whoever it might be, and they have all sorts of expectations of who they need you to be, want you to be. It's important to know who you are, though, because if you don't know who you are, and you don't start living for who God intended you to be, you're always going to be manipulated by everybody else's expectations. And if you don't decide who you are, other people will. God has a plan for your life, but so does everybody else. And so if you don't, know that your boss will decide, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend, or your spouse, or your kids, or some teacher. Other people will try to pressure you actually into becoming into the mold of their expectations of you. And if you've ever had that happen, it's exhausting, isn't it? Trying to measure up to somebody else's opinion or approval, you just get worn out. It's not you. So hear me say this. You don't need to do that. God did not create you to be what other people expect you to be, but who he created you to be. So here's the final takeaway. If you're going to be a leader that influences others, and God absolutely wants you to be that, you must be first comfortable with who you are. You don't try to be anybody else. You just try to be you. You know, there's all sorts of great pastors out there, right? All sorts of them. And yet God didn't create me to be one of them. He just created me to be Mike. Sorry about that, right? But the reality is, so I just try to be the best Mike I can. And in that, my prayer is that God somehow uses that. And it goes out and it helps people as they go through life. And that's the deal with you. He's just telling you to be the best Walt or the best Tim or the best whoever, right? Just be the best you that you could be. It goes on and gives us a second piece too. The second one I'll give you is clarification. In other words, I must know what I want to accomplish. And this is so important because the direction of your life really is a choice. And if you don't like the direction of your life is headed right now, I want you to hear me say this, then change it. Right? Nobody's a victim to where they're going. And if you don't like the direction that you're going, you have the power, you have the strength to turn around and go the other direction. Unless you're a Detroit Lions coach, you don't keep going in the same direction over and over, expecting different results. You turn around and go a different direction in hopes that maybe that new direction is going to be more prosperous. So again, hear me say this. If you don't like the direction that your life is headed right now, change it. Nobody's holding a gun to your head. Nobody's making you a victim. Nobody's forcing you to go in a certain way. And so if you don't like the direction, just change it. Why do I say that? Because the direction of your life is always a choice. And leaders know not only who they are, but where it is that they want to go. And they know exactly what it is that God has called them to do. And they know what they want to accomplish. So they always have a goal in life, a purpose in life. Because if you have that, you're set free by the tyranny of the urgent, are you? And there's a difference between what's urgent and what's important, I think. You can get so caught up in the urgent, you never do what's important. You could spend all day spinning around in circles, but that doesn't get you anywhere. And so you've got to have some kind of direction. In fact, what changes activity into productivity? A purpose. Having a reason behind what you're doing at all times. Rick Warren calls that living the purpose-driven life. You look at Jesus, and Jesus always knew exactly what he was called to do. He knew what he was wanting to accomplish. Listen to what he says in John 8. Jesus says, "I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going." Now compare that to us sometimes. Do you ever get to the end of a day and kind of scratch your head and go, "Man, did I accomplish anything today? I mean, I was busy all day. I was doing this, or was doing this. I was caught up in the moment. I was doing this urgent thing. I was responding to this text. I was doing this phone call. I was doing stuff all day, but do I actually accomplish anything that I needed to accomplish?" Absolutely, that's happened to us. Again, the big difference between productivity and activity is always this whole thing called purpose. And so God says this to you. You need not only know who you are and what you want to be, but you also need to know where you're headed in life. And that's what Jesus teaches us. Listen to the first words that were recorded by Jesus. He's 12 years old. He'd upset mom and dad because they headed back home and he forgot to go with them, right? He was in the temple. They caught him, right? Or they caught up to him. And he said this, "Mom, Dad, I must be about my Father's business." He's not even a teenager yet. And he already knows the purpose which God has him there. Then listen to the very last statements that he ever made. Almost the last words he ever said, "It is finished." Friends, those are amazing bookends to a very productive life, to a successful life, where I know what God wants me to accomplish, and at the end of my life, we just say, "And I did it. I did everything that God put before me," and nobody can say it perfectly like Jesus could, but the reality is that he did everything that God had for him. And the end of his life was the hardest part. He kept walking. Can you imagine? And we're heading into Lent, but he kept heading toward Jerusalem to face certain death, right? The whole end of his ministry, he's walking toward Jerusalem. He's hanging out teaching in Jerusalem. He's responding to the Pharisees. He's teaching and pouring into his disciples in the upper room on that Monday, Thursday. He's doing everything he can to share his last words, his last wisdom, but he keeps walking. He didn't ever run the other way. He completed the thing that God had for him from the very beginning, and it's extraordinary. I'll give you one last one too. Motivation. Motivation is not knowing who you are or what you want to accomplish, but instead it's knowing in clear terms who it is that you want to serve. And this is a pretty important issue to settle in life. Why? Because of the simple reality that you can't please everybody. Anybody figure that out? Just about the time you get crowd A all pleased, right? And they're all happy. You guys are all doing good over here. Crowd B is upset. And so you got to work with crowd B and get them happy. And now crowd A is upset again. Seems like that's all the way through life. We're doing stuff. And we just come to this realization that we just can't please everybody. I was talking to the early service today, kind of cloudy as they were walking in. And I know some people are probably praying for it to rain today. I mean, all the signs were there. And some people are praying for it to be a beautiful day. Guaranteed, somebody was upset. Super Bowl. Two teams, right? Somebody's praying for the Chiefs to win. Somebody's praying for the Buccaneers to win. I'm telling you what, it wasn't just my wife who was upset. There's a whole bunch of people upset that the Chiefs didn't win. And so here's the thing. Even God can't please everybody. And so here's the takeaway. Only a fool would try to do something that God himself can't do. Only a fool. And so to avoid that pitfall, you've got to figure out who is the ultimate authority in your life. Who is it that you're ultimately trying to serve? You know, with staff, sometimes hard decisions or hard conversations present themselves. And I just keep saying, you just got to do the right thing. Do the right thing, and it almost always works out. And what's the hard thing in ministry? It's always confrontation. How many of you guys like confrontation? You're telling somebody what they're doing is wrong or sinful or something. Nobody likes those conversations, not even us. We don't like them either. But the reality is, sometimes God calls us to do that, presents those opportunities or those situations, and you have to have the hard conversation. But what I say is, just do the right thing. They know it's the right thing too, right? Chances are it's all going to work itself out because God just has a history of working things out. But you keep doing the right things because that's what God has called us to do. That's what he wants us to do. That's why we're here. And guys, if you could live a life like that, of just trying to please him instead of your spouse or your kids or your aunt or your friends or whoever, right? You just kept first things first all the time. Can you imagine a church that could always keep first things first? I was talking to a guy before service. He goes, I think one of the gifts of the pandemic has been it's kept us more focused and helped us keep first things first more during this time, and maybe so. I don't know if that's been true of everybody. But the reality is, wouldn't it be cool if we could just keep first things first in our life, in our families, with our friends, at work? Can you imagine the kinds of things that God could do? The other day I was listening to a podcast on leadership. And the guy said this. He said, leadership is the art of managing disappointment. I started thinking about that for a second. I thought, you know, that's exactly what it is sometimes, right? Because you can't please everybody. And as a leader, I'm pretty aware that I'm constantly disappointing people for different reasons, right? Because I can't do all things at all the times. Every time I say yes to one appointment, chances are I'm going to have to say no to some others. Every time I say yes to a phone call or a text chain or an email or spending the time on that, I'm having to say no to others at that moment. Every time I say yes to one project, we're going to have to say no to other projects because we only have so much money or talent or means or whatever. And I know I'm not meeting everybody's expectation. Because he just can't please everybody at the same time. And again, just for perspective, Jesus couldn't do that either. Why? Because everybody has different expectations of you, don't they? Does your boss care as much about what your spouse cares about? They both have huge expectations on your life. Sometimes they want things that conflict, don't they? How do you choose? Well, hopefully you choose your spouse. Don't tick off the boss enough where you get fired. But the reality is, it's the whole idea of keeping first things first. God, our families, and then everything else can come after that. But if you lose that order, man, do you get in trouble. It's like in marriage, it's God, spouse, and then kids. If you get any one of those out of order, you add complication to your life. You've ever met one of those couples where the kids are the most important thing instead of the spouse? It's continual friction. It's continual hurting feelings. It's continual heartache over and over and over. Met those couples where each other is more important than God? And see the misplaced values that develop and the difficulty that adds in and the difficulty to apologize or to get forgiveness or reconcile. Every time we lose that order that God has for us, we make things more and more complicated. So how did Jesus deal with this? The answer is he lived for an audience of one. All he tried to do was to please his Father. In John 5, it says, I only tried to please the one who sent me. Now notice he says, I didn't come to try to win a popularity contest. I mean, there's a lot of people who didn't like Jesus, actually. And yet every one of us has to learn the same lesson as we're going through life. If you're going to be an effective, godly leader, then at some point, you have to not care about so many different opinions, hurting people's feelings, going against their expectations of you, but you just have to care about God's opinion, or as I like to call it, doing the right thing, right? And you focus on that. Because again, you can't please everybody. It's like running a marathon. In running a race, there's people going to cheer you and jeer you. But if you start focusing on those things, you're just going to trip yourself up along the way and you're going to lose the race. So as you go through life, you realize you just can't do it. You can't listen always to the critics and the compliments. You just need to focus on doing what God's called you to do and trust that that's enough. And guys, any staff will tell you, as they go through these difficult things, they just have had to trust in doing the right thing that somehow it would work out. They have to trust that that's enough, that they had trust that God's going to come through and do his thing. And in all the time that I've spent in ministry, and I've had to have a lot of these conversations over the years, and they're no fun, absolutely never. And never does anybody go, right on, Pastor, thanks for coming to me. You know, it's always a little tense at the beginning. But I'd say 90, 95% of the time, God does something amazing through it. And that other 5% where they respond poorly, I'm still hoping. I'm still trusting that somehow, somewhere down the line, God still uses that conversation, still uses that moment in time to do something amazing in the life of that person. Because again, you just always just trust that God's got you and there's purpose for the situation that he's put you in. John 17:4, Jesus says this, I have brought you, talking about God the Father, glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. In other words, he's saying, I accomplished what you put me on this earth to do, God. I brought you glory. And that's got to be the motivation for us too, living for the glory of God. I mean, one of my things, I'm ready to go today if God has me, right? But one of the things that I want to hear when I get there, and I keep on doing the best I can, and it's not about my salvation, but one of the things I want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to make God smile on this earth. It's the only reason I became a pastor. I didn't want to become a pastor. God called me, and so, you know, it gets loud at a certain point, so you just follow. But I'm in ministry because I want to make him smile, because I want to do the things that he's placed before me, because I want people in heaven as a result of this time that I've spent in ministry. And I realize I'm just a cog on the chain, right? There's people before me, there's people after me, but I want the effect of my ministry, the time that he has me here. I want him to do extraordinary things. And guys, if that's the motivation of your life, all of a sudden it brings into clarity why you do what you do. By embracing who it is that God made you to be, by recognizing what it is that he's called you to do, and then living life for an audience of one, that's the foundation, he says. So guys, go with this encouragement. Go today knowing that God loves you, that he has forgiven and freed you, that he has empowered and strengthened you to go out into this very crazy world and work for their good and his glory. And just like the church of October 2019 kind of had a come to Jesus moment where we said, we want to do more. We want to be about more than what we're being. We want to let you loose, God. My prayer is that you would have a moment like that in your life today or this week or sometime where you just say, God, help me get off my belly button and all the stuff that's going on with me and help me be more. Help me bring some of my friends to faith. Help me bring hope to my family. Help me show and model my family and friends what reconciliation looks like. Let me do the right things that point people to you. Because guys, the world needs it right now. The world is in dire need of godly leaders to go out right now into the harvest field. Because I don't think it's ever been riper. So that's my call to you today. Go out and be all that God has for you. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus. And as we talk through this, Lord, it's been interesting. So much of the pandemic, we've just done introspective things, but this is a call to go out, a call to risk, a call to be more vulnerable to what you have for us, Lord. And so, Lord, help it be one of those things that gets the focus off of how hard things have been and our belly buttons and all the stuff going on with us, and help it get our focus on our family and our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors in this world, Lord, and help us realize that we're the bajillionaires of this earth because you've given us Jesus. You've given us heaven. You've given us forgiveness and peace and strength and hope. But get us to a place where we start sharing that with other people. Let us let them in on this amazing stuff that you have for us. And let it give us not just excitement as we see them grabbing hold of the same thing that we have, but let it give us peace because it increases our trust in the very things that we're sharing. Father, we love you so much, and we just pray, be with us this week. Be with us in power. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.